The Pacifica Radio Archive celebrates Black History Month by honoring the voices of a revolution. From the Montgomery bus boycott to the Black Power movement to the fight for reparations, Pacifica was there.
And the state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in my head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left eye and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beating. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America.
Civil rights leader and voting rights advocate Fannie Lou Hamer in 1965 on Pacifica Radio. The airwaves of Pacifica radio stations included some of the most important African American thinkers, artists, poets, writers, speakers, and activists of the 20th century. To find out more, visit our website at pacificaradioarchives.org.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today's show, well, I played that PSA even though it's not actually Black History Month. Well, every month's Black History Month. Anyway, I just wanted to play that PSA. But it reminds me of this thing going on in Louisiana with the Louisiana State Troopers, a certain squadron of Louisiana State Troopers that are under investigation for a series of beatings of Black drivers. Anyway, today is Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. Thanks for tuning in to Out There Today here on Valley Free Radio. For today's show, I'm just going to talk a lot. I have all kinds of pre-recorded clips. One of my friends, when I first started this show, well, anyway, she asked me what I was thinking when I'm out there hauling trash with pedal people. And I was like, well, you know what? I'll do a show about that. But first, this is Serafine with Pedaleando. And maybe I'll give an English translation at the end.
Yo no me rendiré a comer.
right, that was Serafin Pedaleando. Serafin, the song was Pedaleando. And if you couldn't tell by the upbeat tempo, that song was an inspirational bike racing song, I think written for, I don't know, the Tour de France or some bike race in Spain or something. The Serafin, he's from Spain. And the words, I wasn't really paying attention, but it's something like, basically, wow, I love to bike. The road's wide open. How many kilometers left to reach my goal? You can do it. We can do it. Something like that. Anyway, so you are listening to Out There. So let me just start with my clips of the day. When I first started this radio show out there, my friend Leslie, my friend and coworker Leslie Lenluccio, said, yeah, Ruthie, people want to know, what are you thinking when you're out there on the bike? Well, right now I'm admiring this amazing beech tree. This is on Village Hill. This beech tree must have been here since I don't know how long, but I'm going to give it a hug right now and tell you how many arm lengths it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The ground's uneven there. That was 8 arm lengths, not 2 arm lengths, but 1 arm lengths, like from the tip of my hand to this, to my right breast. That's because I had to hold the recorder in my other hand and I couldn't keep good audio quality if I were to extend my left arm and hand. Yeah, that's 8. That's probably like 24, at least 24 inches in circumference. It's on the back side of Olander Drive. If you take the path, there's a foot bike path that comes up to the back side of Hospital Hill. Like, it starts on West Street, just past, if you're coming from Northampton, just past the Smith College Athletic Fields and the Hospital Hill, the Sledding Hill. Yeah, there's a narrow paved path that goes up alongside the hill, along a row of large oak trees, a shady path. Oak trees on one side and poison ivy on the other side. But the path is wide enough that you can pass through without brushing the poison ivy, even with a bike trailer. And when you get to towards the top of that path, there's this giant beech tree with a swing on it. And then up above the beech tree, there's a fountain with a railing around it. All looks pretty new. And then, apparently there's a series of historical markers here that I hadn't seen from my perspective down below. All about the Northampton State Hospital Memorial Park and Fountain. It says, in the early 1980s, as the patient population dwindled and the staff was downsized, the state began planning for the closure of Northampton State Hospital. In 1990, most of the agricultural lands were declared permanent farmland, turned over to the Department of Food and Agriculture, and leased to Smith Vocational and Agricultural High School for stewardship. In 1997, a request for proposals began the process of redevelopment of the Northampton State Hospital's campus and buildings. Despite creative proposals for reuse, promises for renovation, and the efforts of the coalition Save Old Main, only a few buildings were saved. With the demolition of Old Main in 2006 to 2007, the construction of Village Hill began and continues into the 2020s. After the hospital closed in 1993, the call for a memorial to the patients who lived here was immediate. Quote, while the place is gone, we cannot let the lives spent here slip from our memory, end quote. The 1997 request for proposals required the memorialization of the history of the hospital, and in particular, the experiences of patients and staff. In 2007, the Northampton State Hospital Memorial Committee began planning this memorial park and the walking tour of Hospital Hill. The master developers, Mass Development, donated this piece of land to the city for the park. The original 1876 fountain was restored with private donations and Community Preservation Act funds. These markers acknowledge the history of the hospital and encourage reflection on the understanding and treatment of mental illness over time. And here's a couple of quotes from people who spent time at Northampton State Hospital. They were humiliated and abandoned in life. The very least we can do is make sure these people get the dignity in death that they never got in life. That's from Pat Deegan, an ex-patient and activist. Some time ago, I spent 3 years at Northampton State Hospital.
They saved my life there, and I'm in favor of saving the main building. If we are allowed the space for a museum, I would like it to be dedicated to the thousands of people who lived and suffered there. And that's from Lois Plum, 2001. So who were some of the patients who lived here? Over the course of its 135-year history, a total of 65,000 patients were admitted to Northampton State Hospital. Some stayed a few days, while others lived here for 50 years or more. In the early years, the patients were white Massachusetts residents, mostly farmers, laborers, domestics, or factory workers. They were joined by Irish immigrants transferred from overcrowded Boston facilities. Occasionally, foreign-born patients outnumbered native-born. There were more women than men. The most frequent cause for mental illness was listed as unknown or hereditary. Other reasons given were alcoholism, poor health, melancholia, also known as depression, domestic trouble, death of a friend, disappointment in love, hard labor, religious excitement, postpartum depression, epilepsy, and head injury. It wasn't difficult to commit someone to the asylum. It required only an order by a judge or physician and a family member. The asylum was a means of social control for people such as the poor, physically disabled, especially deaf persons, immigrants, or so-called deviant women. As one former patient said, the hospital was a convenient place for inconvenient people. As time went on, the patient population became more elderly. And by 1948, half of those admitted had age-related senility. According to Sanford Bloomberg, a former psychiatric physician at the state hospital, in 2006, he said, one reason for the slow but inevitable failure of the Northampton State Hospital to both provide adequate care for its patients and to treat them as they ought to be treated was the inability of the hospital's administrators to adapt to change. The hospital, an early leader in progressive treatment and an early supporter of those who pressed for these new treatments, began to lag behind. The hospital closed in 1993. When it first opened in 1856 as the Northampton Lunatic Asylum, the hospital was at the forefront of moral and humane treatment of the mentally ill. It aimed to provide rest, nutrition, fresh air, recreation, attentive staff, physical activity, and intellectual stimulation in a scenic landscape so that mentally ill persons could regain their physical and mental health. The hospital was built with high ideals. The hope was to get the insane out of jails, poorhouses, cellars, and attics in order to offer institutional care and treatment with kindness and compassion. But within 2 years, the hospital was 25% beyond capacity. A severe overcrowding and lack of funds to maintain staff, services, and infrastructure became chronic. And as cures continued to be elusive, custodial care was the dominant treatment. The development of psychopharmaceuticals and the emergence of forms of community-based treatment laid the foundation for the deinstitutionalization of patients. By 1975, the patient census had been reduced to fewer than 700. When the hospital finally closed in 1993, the ability to adequately care for patients had been deteriorating for decades. I think I read those historic markers in the wrong order. I think you're supposed to start at the road and make your way to the fountain, but I came up the back side of the hill bank and started the fountain and made my way down. But you get the idea. And now it's all Village Hill, pretty much all Village Hill. Mostly houses and apartment buildings. And trees. Don't forget the trees that were left. Some beautiful beech trees, oak trees. And also woods, in case you need a place to pee. As I started this little section, what do I think about when I'm doing pedal people and out biking around? Well, I'm often thinking about where can I go pee. Generally not a problem in summertime. I do prefer to return to nature, what is hers, as directly as possible in a healthy, sanitary way. Which reminds me, we have this book on the shelf, How to S-H-I-T in the Woods. Some people don't know that you gotta bury that S-H-I-T. Bury it 6 inches deep at least. Dig it with a stick or your heel or something if you gotta do that.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I'm just doing today's show is just a day in the life. I took the recorder with me when I was doing a Pedal People route on Friday and recorded everything along. And one of those things that I ran into, I guess maybe this was the next day, but I'm going to splice this little interview with Paige Bridgens in here.
So what do you have there, Paige?
What I have here are some ivory keys from a grand piano. I stole these from the state hospital. I broke into the state hospital with a friend probably about 35 years ago. And once you're in Old Main, which is the building that we broke into, then you're in the whole complex. I mean, I guess I should be using the past tense because Old Main has been taken down. But there are were tunnels to other buildings. And we spent the day wandering around and climbing up into sentry towers. We could see even security outside.
Wait, actual security? Live
security? Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so the hospital closed in 1993, I believe. When would this have been?
Around that time. So the building that is where Cole Morgan is now. Wait, it's not called Cole Morgan. It's called
L3 Kate Eagle or something.
L3 Harris.
Something, yeah.
Across Route 66. There was a building there. And that was still active. So all state hospital patients who remained in the state hospital were in that building.
Okay.
And so Old Main had been long abandoned or been abandoned for quite some time. We found many old records. In the attic of Old Main, we found many, many records.
Patient records.
Patient records. And this grand piano was in the, what must have been a lovely day room, you know, or maybe it was an auditorium. I think there were auditorium seats, come to think of it. We're talking a long time ago.
So this is actual ivory, not like the composite or whatever
right.
that today's pianos are made out of?
Right. These are thin pieces of ivory. Some you can tell are from the long keys. Some are from the shorter keys. I keep them in this little plastic bag, ready to give them to someone. Maybe someone who repairs pianos.
So, ivory, that's like elephant tusks, right?
I believe this to be elephant tusks. Mm. Carved out of, or cut. These are very smooth, very refined, and I believe these to be from elephants.
So when you took them off of the piano, do you remember what you were thinking or how you were feeling?
The piano was just in total disarray. Everything in the state hospital was coming apart. There were raccoons living there, and this piano was in utter disarray. There were other piano parts that had kind of come unsprung. We just had our backpacks and didn't have a whole lot to carry. And also I was wondering, what would I carry? What am I going to do with a whole lot of piano parts? But the ivories, I felt, were very special. I'm not sure at that time I would have thought about them being from an elephant. The other thing was that the stories, you know, you could look at this piano and just wonder, what are the stories here of this piano and how it was used and did patients play the piano?
Bike lab guests, anything else you want to say about the keys?
No.
Okay, thanks, Paige. Now what's on my mind back on my bike is, oh crap, I'm late. I spend time dilly-dallying. Will I make it to all my pickups on time? Will I make it to Valley Recycling before the scale closes? How much trash and recycling will I have? Because they have a $10 minimum going across the scale. So if I have less than $10, if I have less than 100 pounds of trash and cans and bottles, that not counting compost and paper, because we don't pay for that, but we pay 10 cents a pound for trash and cans and bottles. And there's a $10 minimum, so even if I only have 80 pounds of trash and cans and bottles, I still gotta pay $10. Comes right out of my paycheck. And I'll take this opportunity to remind people to please empty any liquid out of bottles that you put in the recycling or trash. Bottles, jars, any kind of thing you put in the trash or recycling, please empty the liquid out. If it's in the trash, it goes to an incinerator, and then the incinerator's gotta burn that stuff.
Uh-oh, I bumped the computer with my knee and it hit my thumb drive and knocked it out. So let's have another song here. I think I want to play another bike song. This is Alquilados, La Bicicleta.
Alquilados más playa. Voy llegando hasta ti, baby. Tengo una bicicleta que no para de rodar hasta tu casa. Tengo las suelas gastadas por andar detrás de ti. Tengo esta miopía de mirarte, dolor de cabeza de pensarte. Si no te das cuenta, niña, no sé qué va a ser de mí. Tengo una bicicleta que no para de rodar hasta tu casa. Tengo las suelas gastadas por andar detrás de ti. Tengo esta miopía de mirarte, dolor de cabeza de pensarte. Si no te das cuenta, niña, no sé qué va a ser de mí.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This is WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. And I've been playing clips today from my day riding around as a trash hauler with pedal people on the streets of Northampton, mostly up on Village Hill, and then going out to Valley Recycling. I had a little technical difficulties with that last clip, so I'm going to try to get where I left off here. Oh, yeah. I was just making a PSA to please empty bottles of liquid before you put them in the trash or recycling so the incinerators aren't trying to burn them and your waste haulers not trying to lug them around and the landfills aren't trying to encapsulate fresh water. Thank you.
Please empty liquids.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. I was just checking to see if you had any trash or recycling.
Oh, shoot. Oh, yes, I do. Thank you.
I completely forgot. No problem.
Oy. Oh, the trash just blew out of that bag. This is a reminder. Please tie your bags shut so the tissues don't fall out when I pick the bag up. I really need to get one of those lapel mics that I can clip to the neck of my shirt, and then I can go hands-free and really talk. All right, I wonder how much stuff this customer's gonna have. I always hope they don't have much. I think, you know, there's rumors that the more trash people make, the more money trash haulers make. That's not true. The more trash people make, the less money I make, because the more I gotta pay for all this stuff. Not that it's about the money. It's more about the environment to me. And maybe how hard I gotta work. The more trash someone makes, the heavier my load is, the more difficult it is to haul, the fewer customers I can get on my trailer. I might have to go back for a whole nother load if I can't get everything on one load. You know that board game that Dave Dusso from the Dusso Trash Hauling Family made called Trash is Cash? I wouldn't mind one bit being put out of work if there was no trash left to haul. Believe me, I can find other things in society that need doing, having to do with food or shelter or transportation, maybe love. Well, given how much trash that one customer had, I don't think I'm going to have any trouble having 100 pounds for the $10 minimum going across the scale at Valley. Oh, receipts. They're not recyclable. They got some chemical in them or something, so they don't go with paper recycling. Put them in the trash. Send the chemical to the landfill with all the other chemicals, where it will rest in peace forever. Ah. Oh wait, this trash doesn't go to the landfill. This trash goes to Bondi's Island, to the incinerator in Springfield. We'll just have faith that the scrubbers on the burning facility are fine enough to filter out all dangerous chemicals. All right, loading up, strapping down. I got one more customer. No problem. No stress about whether or not they're going to fit. I got plenty of room because there's only 5 customers on this route. And that's a small route. No stress. Except for the aforementioned whether or not I'm going to get my money's worth going across the scale of Valley. All right, out of Village Hill, on to Rust Ave. Look at that apple tree in someone's yard. Ooh, they have a pear tree right there. I bet those pears I could reach from standing on the curb. Though I bet if I asked the residents if I could have one, they'd probably say, sure, you can have a pear. Especially if it was a really hot day. I came to here with a Pedal People trailer and I said, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Please, a pear off your tree that's falling on the ground. It's a hot and hazy, sultry day. This would be a good day to go swimming. A friend of mine asked me earlier today if I wanted to go together. One of her relatives attempted to drown her daughter when her daughter was like 10 or 8, 8 or 10. I think her daughter's 12 or 13 now. Yeah, so she's like, I carry that trauma with me. I don't want to swim alone. I just... The fear wells up in me very fast when I'm in the water. I panic. Do you want to go together? Because I want to work through this fear, she said, because I don't want to be afraid of swimming for the rest of my life. She's only in her 30s. Now I'm on Rust Ave. The city did have a plan to put a dog kennel back here, but that wasn't the best laid plan. So the neighbors, I think, were various forces were able to change that plan, but now they're planning on building affordable housing, some apartment or something back here. Rust Ave, it's off of Route 66 between Hospital Hill and the jail. Compost buckets, I try to get all the stuff out, but you know, only so much will come. But I have a special trick. Take a paper bag and stick your hand in the paper bag and then wipe all you can out with that paper bag, and the whole paper bag is compostable. But what's even better is when people line their compost bucket with a paper bag. All right, my trailer's filling up. Now it's like, where am I going to put this? Where am I going to put this paper recycling? Where am I going to put these other containers? Oh shoot, I was going to put the paper in that tub, which had trash in it. But now that tub is a wet, swarming pile of maggots. Dump that out. Alright, paper will go in here. Did you ever think about how much of your life, I often think about how much of my life I spend just shuffling stuff around and wondering what to do with it. Oh, look at all these cans. I'll take those to Dwayne at Cans for Cancer out at Valley Recycling. Your deposits are accepted to be redeemed for donations to the Cancer Connection and for local employment, employing people who sort and count cans at Cans for Cancer out at Valley Recycling, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 1 or 2 on Saturdays. All right, that's almost 10 minutes of recorder time with On the Road with Ruthie on the Pedal People route.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm playing something I recorded a couple days ago, and this is WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Out There airs Tuesdays from 3 to 4, followed by Madness Radio up at 4. Thanks for listening.
Now I gotta turn this thing off so I can focus on getting the last bags of trash on here, which seem to be majority cat litter. It doesn't take much cat litter to get that 100 pounds of waste going across the scale. Well, that is talking about clay cat litter. But you know, there's many options to clay cat litter. One is, the first and best, is if you can make a little like septic system at home. My housemate Sarah did this for a dog poop. Basically, she took a 30-gallon trash barrel, cut the bottom out, dug a hole in the ground, like 3 feet deep, so most of the trash barrel is down in the hole. I think put some rocks or something down in the bottom, and maybe something else. That's about it. Maybe some, a little bit of like septic starter, digester kind of enzyme. And then you just chuck your dog poop in there. It stays separated from the rainwater, pretty much, and contained, and then it just breaks down. It doesn't smell at all. They make a commercial system like that called a green cone, which you can buy prefab. But it's pretty easy to make on at home. There's lots of directions online if you just look up pet poop composter. Other alternatives to clay cat litter are like wheat-based or sweet scoop or something like that. It's called Cedarific. That's a cedar shaving base that one of my coworkers loves. There's recycled newspaper, like cellulose. Yesterday's News, I think is some brand name. There's pine pellets. Oh, I've heard people have even tried layer pellets, like fowl, like chicken grain layer pellets. I think there's better waste products you could use, like coconut shells, I think, or ground up coconut husks make some cat litter. Anyway, there's all kinds of alternatives to clay cat litter. And I think that the upfront costs may be more, but I think you don't go through it as fast. And of course, the cost on the environment are less. I've read that most clay cat litter is mined in Wyoming, these big mines out there. And it's basically just like strip mining. Just like strip mining for coal, only it's mining for clay. You know, where they bulldoze off the trees, the surface greenery life, and then just dig a pit mine. Whereas most of the biodegradable cat litter products are waste products. And the biodegradable cat litter, usually, like, you can use the litter with just the pee in it. You can use it around trees or bushes in the yard if you have a yard. The poop part, unless you have an in-ground home little poop, pet poop digester, then the poop part you can probably put in the trash. But at least that's a lot less than sending all the clay to a landfill. Oh, but they say a lot of cats don't like the natural cat litter. They want the clay. Maybe that's what they've always known. Well, Look online. You can find answers to how to transition. Or they say just try to transition gradually, gradually, gradually. And if you, when you're transitioning, like if you mix the biodegradable stuff in and you throw it away with a cat litter, well, it's still lighter than the, still lighter than the clay cat litter. All right, Belly, here I come. Oh, a very brief rain shower. Well, I hope it's brief. It's just hit. I did not plan for rain at all, so I don't have any plastic to store my valuables in. Will I have to take a plastic, dirty trash bag? But I'm going to have to put the recorder away. But I just wanted to mention this chestnut tree, this really beautiful chestnut tree on the corner of Laurel and Grove. It's got lots of chestnuts on it right now. Have you ever smelled the chestnut tree in blossom? It's one of those smells that some people, like me, are like, whoa, that smells so good. And other people are just like, ugh, that stinks. Cut it down. As expected, that was a quick rain shower. Now I'm on Route 10. Do you know about the blackberry patch on the hillside down from the oil company? They're just starting to turn ripe. The thing I like about an afternoon shower is that it washes, in my mind, it washes the berries clean. Of course, it just probably brings all the particulate matter from the polluted air down on top of the berries so that it sticks. But I don't care. I tell myself they're clean and nicely washed. And I like my fresh fruit freshly washed from nature's drippings. My coworker Leah is up here. I just caught up to her. She's got a big load. Much bigger than me. I got a relatively small load. Hey, how's it going?
It's okay. You?
Yeah. Alright, coming in towards the valley. Trying to come across Route 10. Gonna head for that scale. Based on how this load feels, I'm gonna guess I got 480 pounds. It's usually a range somewhere between, oh, they're waving me through, okay. It's usually a range somewhere between 460 and 520. But I'm gonna guess I got 480. It's 20 pound increments. Oh, 460. 460 says the scale. Here's the next stop of the journey for the trash shed at Valley Recycling. That's the sound of the heavy equipment moving it around on the floor, shoving it over, dumping it in the back of a tractor trailer. I don't know where the tractor trailer goes. Well, first it goes on the scale and weighs, and then it sits until the tractor can come pick it up. So Leah's also here at Valley Recycling. Leah, what goes through your head when you're hauling a load or when you're doing pedal people? Or what's going through your head now, just now?
Oh, it's hot out. I want to take a shower. Or jump in the river.
Yeah. Are you listening to something? Were you listening to something?
Yeah, I was listening to a book on tape.
What are you listening to?
Oh, it's like this internet novel thing about superheroes. It's dumb.
Anything you want to say to listeners? Anyone thing you want to say to human beings, to Americans who make trash like pretty much everybody?
Oh, stop that. Stop doing it.
I had 13 bags of trash. It was a pretty light load. Mostly like white kitchen bags. Now it's time to sort the cans, sort the redeemables out for cans for cancer. Hey, Leah. So, Leah, how do you like your job?
Oh, I love it.
What do you like about it?
It's very stinky.
Anything else?
I like being outside. It's really good.
Coming off the scale on the outbound, what'll it be? It was 440, 460. Like, it was toggling between it, so it was probably like 450 pounds coming in. Oh, look, trash. The thing about riding a bike is it's pretty convenient to pick up trash. You can scoop it as you're riding, or if you're stopped. The outbound, how much did I have? I say I had 120 pounds. 320. Wait, no, that was right. I said 120 pounds, and that's what it was. My estimate was right. My math was off. Thank you.
My subtraction was off.
Oh, I mean 140. Just delete all that, okay? My estimate maybe was slightly off, and my subtraction was off, and then my memory was off too. Just turn the recorder off. Now dumping the paper. Paper, cardboard, all paper products. Well, I mean, all the ones that are recyclable. So, like, some paper products aren't recyclable, like butter boxes or waxed food tray kinds of things, or freezer, TV dinner, cardboard, that kind of thing. Beer and soda boxes are not recyclable because of the glues in them. If you want the latest scoop on what's recyclable in Western Mass, you can go to the Springfield MRFs website, the Springfield MRF, where all the recycling goes. There's info in English and in Espanol. That's it for paper. Now on to the compost. This is where things get really stinky. Sadly, I can't record the smell, but maybe you can hear the flies buzzing. I don't want people to think compost is gross. I mean, the trash has flies too. The trash has way more maggots than the compost. And, like, it's just so much nicer to, you know, have all your flies and maggots in one place where you put all your food scraps, rather than having all that nastiness distributed throughout dry trash, like plastic bags and such, that would otherwise be not smelly or gross. All right, now on to the favorite place, Cans for Cancer. We'll see what Dwayne has to say. Dwayne, so how's it going out here at Cans for Cancer today?
It's hot.
It's hot. You got shade, that's nice. Cans for Cancer, it's a year and a half old now?
Yes, it is a year and a half old, and I'm still here. So that's great. People still know I'm here, and they bring me plenty of cans and bottles every day.
What do you do with them?
I count them.
What do you think? Count them.
I count many of them. I box them, I bag them, I redeem them, and then I use the money to run this and help make contributions to local organizations.
Such as?
Can't be named anonymous. It's the Cancer Connection. There's one right down the street. I like dropping off donations like weekly now that they're open.
Cancer Connection, that's a big one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's the regular.
Because it's the local.
Plus, they're right by, like on your way home, you can just drop off your...
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do great work. I mean, they were closed when I got cancer. And,
So you never got to receive the benefits?
No, I have no. But, I mean, so what? It's not a question of whether what they're doing for me, they're doing things for other people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing things for other people.
Yeah. Can I ask you on air, how's your cancer?
I don't know. Some of it's gone, some of it's still there, some of it's never going to go away, and some of it's going to kill me. So, you take your pick.
How's your energy?
What?
How's your energy?
I'm here every day, 6 days a week. I ride here on my bike. So ride to the store. I'm not like an invalid.
I ask you how you like your job?
I love my job. It's a lot of fun. It's really hot.
You got a long sleeve shirt?
Yeah, just covering up from the sun. I feel like it helps keep me a little cooler.
What do you love about it?
I love being outside. I love that it's not super time sensitive, that you're paid for the work that you do, that you actually complete in the day versus the amount of time. That makes a big difference to me. And I love that it's a cooperative and that it's consensus.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are your least favorite parts about it?
Probably when it's cold and rainy at the same time. Uh-huh. My hands always freeze. Uh-huh. And that's probably it.
How is it for you just dealing with so much consumer waste?
It's definitely a bit pretty eye-opening. I would say that I've learned a lot more about the recycling systems, and I got to teach a lot of people about them through that, which is very cool. I think it's definitely encouraged me and discouraged me in a variety of ways. Uh-huh. I feel like it's kind of realigned where I want to put my effort in terms of like home waste stuff. Like I feel like I've learned some stuff is a lot less effective and some stuff is a lot more effective than I thought.
Yeah, can you give any concrete examples?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's given me a lot less faith in recycling. Learning that it doesn't often get recycled, and if it does, it's very far away, so it has to get shipped and stuff like that. And it's definitely made me a lot more excited about compost, I would say.
Yeah,
and I think I've reconsidered, like, just with that knowledge, I think I found it a lot easier to compost a lot of things.
Mm, do you want to stand in the shade?
Yeah, sure.
So have you had any discussions with customers who didn't compost, who were maybe on the fence or maybe considering it?
Not customers, but definitely friends. And I feel like I often come on pretty strong, being like, it's really the only actual way to get your waste to like be reused in some way or not just tossed in some really harmful way.
What are the challenges that your friends, that they've said that prevent them from composting?
Mostly that it's smelly is like the classic, and that it's just annoying. But I think if you just take care of your indoor compost pile or just keep it on the porch, if you're really like averse to it for some reason, by like lining the bucket and putting like cellulose stuff in there as well as very nitrogenous kind of organic stuff, then it helps with the smell a lot.
Like paper bag, newspaper, egg cartons,
yeah, exactly,
like
that. Yeah, and
or
even
sawdust, wood chips.
Yeah, sawdust, exactly.
Or like wood chips, you can get wood chips free from the DPW.
Exactly, yeah, that really helps. The thing that I love about the job, which I didn't say, is that it kind of gives me a totally different perspective on exercise, because I exercise so much that I just don't even ever have to worry about it. And it's like my base state of being is in this like really intense physical motion. And that just means it like has changed my eating habits a lot, and it has changed just my relationship to my body a lot.
Yeah, I feel pretty well exercised every night.
Yeah, me too, I would say.
I feel well exercised and well fed.
Yep, exactly, which I really love. I think that's an amazing thing, is to just... People worry about their weight a lot and worry about eating too much a lot. And I think that there's some elements of truth to that. And there's also a ton of like stupid societal stuff around it, and it's really overblown. But regardless of whatever truth there is to it, I feel very outside of that. And that feels really good. I just feel like I can completely discount that and just be like, I'm never going to gain weight, even if I really try.
Well, but some pedal people do.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I can't with my personal physique. I have just been eating an incredible amount of food since I've been doing this job, and have felt totally healthy, healthier than I ever have been.
Yeah, it's funny that you know, different attitudes towards food and calories. Like, I find for me, like, I don't really buy a lot of food, or what food I do buy is really like simple. I don't know, I just sort of like get food through gleaning or barter or whatever. But occasionally, yeah, when I'm like, if I'm traveling or something and I need to buy food, I'm like, okay, what's the most calories I can get for my dollar?
Exactly. It's like the through hiking thing.
And
what's
it's like
the calories per weight, calories per dollar.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's just like to be in that realm of reality is so far away from this other thing that's like, how can I buy food with no calories? Like,
I
what?
I know, exactly. I feel so the same way. I with my housemates right now, we have different yogurts for all three of us, because I get the 10% milk fat stuff, the Greek stuff, that's like so thick, it's like so heavy. And yeah, some of my other housemates are like 0%. I'm like, what's the point of that? Like, you're just, I don't know. Yeah.
Ooh, I was coming up the hill on West Street, like between the Felt Building up towards Smith College, by the Smith College parking garage, where I just parked. Now I'm going to take a little stroll back here through the back side of the library parking lot and down the other side to see if I can make it to the back side of Joel's building, because Joel Sachs told me he had some bikes for me. You ever come to the Smith College parking garage and walk to the top of it, at the very top deck, and look out over the hills? It's an unusual scene if you're not used to climbing parking garages. Wow, there are some wild black cherry trees here, just loaded with cherries. They're green now, but I'll have to come back and a couple weeks, maybe. All right, I was looking for a cut through down to the parking lot. It looks like I have to jump the fence. I don't know why they would make a fence right here. Like, how are you getting to Amherst, and why?
Well, my sweetie, Marion, she lives in Hadley.
Yeah.
And I have a car, an old 96 Civic that I love that I share with my sister that is parked on one of the side streets off West Avenue. But I don't drive it hardly at all. And so either I take the bus to Hadley somewhere where she picks me up when she's coming back from work, or I ride over there. I have one of my bikes over there, so I'm going to ride it back tomorrow. Or I put my bike on the bus, and then I get off at the mall and ride to her place. So it's one or the other, one of those options. Sometimes I walk, coming back, I walk from her place in Hadley to the bus stop. So, you know, one way or the other.
How come you choose not to drive that much?
I hate cars. I like, they're violent. They're these muscle trucks that are on the road now. It feels like the war in Iraq, you know, that it's like these military vehicles on the road. They scare me. I mean, really, I have to do the Serenity Prayer when I go out into town and see these trucks. They scare me. They really scare me. And I'm privileged. You know, I live downtown, so I can get a bus. I have the money to get the bus. I have a place to put the bikes, and I'm on the bus line, and my partner's not far from it, so I can do that. A lot of people don't have that choice.
Yeah. You know about the new express bus to Springfield, Northampton to Springfield Express?
You know, I just noticed, I didn't know that it was an express, but I actually sometimes, not recently, but there have been times in the past where I've done media education, media literacy, social justice education in the Springfield Public Schools, and I would more than not take a bus there, and that was going to the Holyoke Transfer Station, take the B-48, and then get a bus from the Holyoke Transfer Station to Springfield, and then getting another bus, or I'd put my bike on it, and then when I got downtown Springfield, I'd ride down Wilbraham to Duggan High School.
Yeah.
So that's good to know.
Yeah, it stops at the Holyoke Mall briefly, but the whole trip only takes 35 minutes from Northampton to Springfield to Union Station.
That's great.
And then there's Valley Bike Share bikes that can pair up with it on either end, too.
Nice, yeah.
Cool, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, great.
I was just biking up Elm Street thinking, where can I find the next shade? Charles Park, probably. Or something to eat. My mouth is dry. Have a little bit of water, but I was remembering back in mulberry season when there was mulberries everywhere and cherry season. But you know what I found? I forgot about it. Here it is right now. It's July, and it's July of an even numbered year, and the apples on the corner of Franklin Street and Route 9 are ripe. They're dropping all over the place. Hallelujah and thank you. I will fill my shirt and my mouth. This variety of July apple, it gets mushy real quick. So you gotta pick it off the tree and eat it within a day or two. That's pretty funny. I just pulled off into Child's Park, and here about 30 feet into the park is a Pedal People trailer tote off of trailer number 18 just lying around in the park. Well, lucky me, I'll take that home. That is supposed to live on the trailer that lives in my house. But before I saw that tote, I was just gonna say, the shade, trees. I just wish there were more trees. Like, in my mind, an ideal living situation would be to live surrounded by trees, towering overhead, tall trees, short trees, trees that I could climb and eat berries off of, trees that I could pick up nuts underneath. To live surrounded by trees, with lots of other people around too. So to live amongst the trees and amongst people, that would be the perfect world to me. When I say living amongst trees, assumed into that is that I would also be living amongst the animals that the trees host. That tote I just found in the park off of trailer 18. I don't know how someone would lose a tote off their trailer and not notice. Maybe it's because the trailer I use only has 8 totes, and the trailers everybody else uses have 12 totes. And it's a lot easier to count to 8 at a glance than it is to count to 12 at a glance. The bike path.
sweet shade and coolness. If you ever need a cool place to sit on a hot day and you're on the bike path between Prospect Ave and North Elm, there's the... Oh, crap. I leaned my bike over and all my apples went rolling out of my pannier. I was trying to not bruise them. Anyway, so if you're between Prospect Ave and North Elm along the bike path, there's a place. It's actually sort of like it's the walking pedestrian cut through access to the end of Terrace Lane. But there's like a sewer grate cover, concrete. It's a round concrete like built up thing, sticks up out of the ground. Well, it's level the ground on one side and sticks up out of the ground like 3 feet on the other side because it's on a slope. But if you sit on top of that drain, storm drain cover, that metal, cool metal on a hot day in the shade, it'll suck some of that heat right out of your legs in a good way. These are the days, my friend, I think they'll never end. And when I die, I'll still be in my prime. I'll ride a mile or ten, I'll get that high, and then I'll go to bed and do it all again. Oh, I know what I'll do with these apples. I'll slice them with that slicer I found in the free pile, and I'll put them in the sun oven to dehydrate them. So then in winter, I can have apples that won't freeze when I'm out doing a Fiddle People route. Crossing Straw Ave, coming into the backyard of Home Sweet Home 8 High Street. Hello.
Hi.
Look, I got apples.
Oh, nice. From that tree on Franklin?
Yeah. In conclusion, it's a good life.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I've been playing clips today from my Pedal People route on Friday, this past Friday. That would have been July 16th. This is WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Coming up at 4 o'clock is Madness Radio. I actually have some more clips. I didn't play all the ones that I had. My day wasn't done yet. And maybe I'll play some of the rest of the clips for next week. Some of the voices you heard in those clips, let's see. Well, early on, there was Paige Bridgens talking about the ivory keys from the state hospital grounds, from the piano there from back in the mid-90s. There was also a couple of my coworkers, Leah Hansen and Z. Belfour-Chevette. And then there was Dwayne Rainey of Cans for Cancer. And then there was also Joel Saxt. Joel used to have a show here on Valley Free Radio for a bunch of years called Bread and Roses. You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And announcements. Today's Tuesday, so the Farmers Market in downtown Northampton is going on. Also, tomorrow is Wednesday. The Farmers Market in Florence will be there from 2 until 6. Last week, I got some meat last week. I don't normally eat a lot of meat, but my body needed a boost. Yeah, vegetables, all that. All right, well, I'm going to play Los Mismos, Puente a Mallorca. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your day.
Tengo miedo al avión, también tengo miedo al barco, por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Yo sabría esperar, porque el tiempo no me importa, si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca. Sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión, solo caminando en bicicleta o autostop. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca. Sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión, solo caminando en bicicleta. bicicleta o autostop. Tengo miedo al avión, también tengo miedo al barco, por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer pa' cruzar el charco. Por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer pa' cruzar el charco. Yo sabría esperar, porque el tiempo no me importa, si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión, solo caminando en bicicleta o autostop. Será